Yesterday we quoted a Talmud Yerushalmi in Makos, where it was asked of Chachma, and it was asked of Nevuah, and it was asked of Torah, and it was asked of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what should we do with the Chote? What should his punishment be? What are the possible means for Tikkun? And we saw in the Yerushalmi that Chachma says that a person who does Averos should be pursued by evil. Chatam Tiradef Ra'a. We saw the Nevuah said that a person who does Averos should be killed. Hanefesh HaChoteis HiTavos. We saw that Torah said that a person should bring a karban and receive kapara. And we saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one who said, Tovi Asher Hashem, Alkein Yorech HaTovim Badarech. And we spent some time yesterday trying to understand that bridge of Tov and Yasher, that Hashem somehow is able to in a very delicate way, combine Tov, which is the desire to do only good, to let us come back to Him, and to be overly generous towards us, to balance that with a sense of Yashrus, which is a sense of Mishpat, that Hashem is not so quick to forgive, and Hashem is a Melech HaMishpat. He's a judge who expects to run the world in a very strict and fair way. Yashar means fair, honest, emistic way. And there has to be a balance between the two. If Hashem is only Tov, then He's not really Tov. If you're too generous, sometimes you can harm someone in that way. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes, as we described yesterday, too chilled out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a Vatran. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do things in a casual way. On the flip side, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is too Yashar, if He's too emesik, if He tries to create a Beis Shammai type of world, the world's going to cease to exist. It's going to fall apart. That's Rashi at the beginning of the Torah. Hashem wanted to create the world with Midas Adin. It's unsustainable. So Hashem has to create a balance between Tov and Yashar to allow the world to function. And as we said yesterday, that's true on every Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything Hashem does is a balance between Tov and Yashar, but especially Tshuva. Tshuva, more so than anything else, has to strike that very delicate balance between, on the one hand, Hashem is pulling us back in, and on the other hand, Hashem is saying, this behavior is not acceptable. This is not Yashar. This doesn't have a place. Okay, so that's the balance between the two, and that's what we described yesterday. So we're on page, again, Kuf Mem Ches. We are 11 lines down. Last word in the line is Va'amar. Ma'aral returns now to the Yerushalmi. Va'amar, the Yerushalmi, told us, Shalu l'chachma chote ma'oncho. Ve'yeshiva chatam teradef ra'a. Chachma responded with the pasuk in Mishlei, Chata'im tiradef ra'a. That ra'a, evil, should be tiradef, should pursue chata'im, sinners, those who sin. Why is that the response of Chachma? V'zek yachet hu chisaron ba'olam, v'ein roi shiad nimtza chisaron ba'olam. Whenever there is chet, it creates a void in the world. The Maharal has a famous concept, he describes it in many places, that anytime there's a void, anytime there's a gap, anytime there's nothingness in the world, there's chisaron, or in the language of the Maharal, sometimes heder, hey, ayin dalid resh, there's a void, there's an emptiness. That, by definition, is bad. Too much blank space is bad. Right? Now, a little bit of blank space might have a place. But for the most part, when you see something, a void that's not filled, that's usually not a good sign. It usually is an opening for something negative to take that place. Maharal, for example, writes in the Chiddushei Agados and Shabbos. He uses the following lashon. He says, Ki ha-mitzias hu ha-tov. Mitzias, that which exists, that which is happening, is good. To be, hopefully, properly busy, involved in things. That there should be mitzias, that there should be reality taking form. That's a good thing. V'ahedar hu ra. But avoid negativity, space, right, is bad. By definition, that's not a good thing. So when you do a chet, and you drive Hashem out of this world a little bit, and you've made a little bit more of a void of God's presence in this world, that by definition is a very bad thing. So says the Maharal, Ki achet hu chisaron ba'olam. Every time a person does an avera, he creates a void in the world. He causes the world to be lacking something that it needs, something of its mitzias, its essential self. Ve'ein roi shi'a nimtza chisaron ba'olam. And Chachma, now again, this is not Torah speaking, this is Chachma. Chachma looks out at this chote, at this sinner, who is making holes, a bunch of holes in the world. And he says, what's with all these holes in the world? We don't need more holes in the world. And therefore, Chachma says, V'lakach, tiradefo samhara'a la'vido min ha'olam. Right? To keep this guy out of trouble, there's a Mishnah, several places in Mesechus Ksubis, where it describes how batala, right, leads to all sorts of bad things. Batala, for example, the Mishnah says, leads to znus. If you're bored, you're going to end up, you have nothing to do. So a person tends to, machshavas arayos, start to take over his mind. That's the lashon of the Rambam. At the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia. That a person only has thoughts, lewd thoughts, if his lave is devoid of chachmas haTorah. That means if you're filling your time in a meaningful way, there's not going to be time to do other things. So what does Chachma say? Chachma looks at this center who's punching holes again in Metzias of the world, making holes in the world as we know it, causing Chisaron to exist in the world, and that is by definition bad. So what does Chachma say? We need to keep this guy busy. He doesn't know how to stay busy with good things. So how will we keep him busy? What's the pasuk in Mishlei? What's the pasuk? Chatoim tiradei fra. We'll keep him on the run. We'll chase after him. We'll send evil to pursue him. La'avidu min ha'olam. That will keep him, right, so busy running for his life. Now again, Chachmah doesn't say to kill him. Nevuah says to kill him. We'll have to see the difference. But Chachmah says, let him be pursued by evil. We need him to be kept out of the way. La'avidu min ha'olam. Umikol makum ein ha'chachmah omeres ha'nefesh ha'choteis tams. But notice, says the Maharal, that unlike Nevuah, which says that the person should be killed, Chachmah does not say he should be killed. Nevuah responds with the pasuk in Yecheskel, "Hanefesh hachoteis hi tamus," that the sinner should be put to death. Chachmah doesn't say such a thing. Why? So it says the Maharal. This is a deep point. Ki nimtza ba'olam hara gamkin. The world, by definition, how did Hashem create the world? How did Hashem create the world? If a Kadosh Baruch Hu fills all of reality, right? Like Rav Weinberger read in the Lashon of the Tanya last night by the Fabrengen, a Lashon that appears all over the place in Tanya and Zohar, right? The Lashon of what? The Mamale Kol Almin Visoviv Kol Almin. That Hashem is Mamale, Hashem fills Kol Almin, all worlds. Visoviv, and He surrounds Kol Almin, all worlds. So if Hashem fills everything, if Hashem is referred to as an Or Ein Sof, an endless divine light, right? B'nai Asaskar points out that the gematria of the word Or is 207. The gematria of Ein Sof is 207. So when we call Hashem an Or Ein Sof, what we're really saying is that, right, that Hashem is Or, and Or is by definition Ein Sof. And the truth is neither of those are a true description of Hashem, because Hashem is not Or, and Hashem is not Ein Sof. Hashem is not without end, even though He is without end. No words that we use to describe Hashem is truly capturing His Metzias. But the Ramchal says that the mushal of light is actually a very good mushal for Hashem. Because right now this room is filled with light. So if I were to ask you, pick up the light, grasp the light in your hand, make contact with the light. Well, we're all experiencing the light. We're all making contact with the light. We're all receiving the benefit of the light, even though we can't grasp in a tangible way the light. So that's a good mushal for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's very real in our life. Right? And He's all over our life. He's an Or Ein Sof. B'nai Zaschar writes in the regular Yeshara, one of the first pieces, he says, Or is Gematria Ein Sof. It's one and the same. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so real in our life, and yet there's a certain aspect of Him that we just can't grasp, we can't hold in our hands. So how did the Kadosh Baruch Hu create the world? If Hashem fills everything, how did He create the world? So what did the Kadosh Baruch Hu have to do? He had to be mitzamtzim Himself. He had to, so to speak, compress Himself, contract Himself, pull Himself back to allow what? To allow a void to exist. For the world to exist. Hashem had to remove Himself on some level to create what's called in the Sfarim the Chalol HaPanoi, the empty space. Or in the language of other Sfarim, Tehiru Ilah, to create, same words, Chalol HaPanoi, an empty space, a vacuum. So now, look what the Maharal is saying. It's beautiful. He's saying that for the world to exist, by definition what? As much as the world is supposed to be filled with meaningful content, but the very creation of the world itself came about through what? Through the creation of a void, right? Of an evil, of a negativity, in the sense that Hashem removed Himself to allow the world to exist. So therefore what? It's a Chilul Hashem, right? This was the first Chilul Hashem, as the Sfarim say. The first Chilul Hashem, the first time that that there was a void of godliness, is when Hashem created the world itself. That was Hashem taking one for the team. Hashem filled everything. Adon Olam Hashem Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. You were the Melech before there was a world. You don't need the world. He made it for us. He made a Chilul Hashem. He was Machalo Himself. He made Himself like Chol. He made Himself, right? He desecrated Himself in order to allow us to exist. So therefore, the very nature of the world is what? Nu Chevra, let's follow the steps. The very nature of the world is came about through a void, right? There was a certain negativity that allowed for the world to exist. And therefore, when this chote, when this sinner is making bad choices, and he's making a further void in the world, so it's not totally outside of the what's appropriate for this world. The world itself came about through a void. You hear what the Maharal is saying? The world itself came about through a void. So when a person does an avera, and he creates a void, so what can he claim? I'm just... That's the reality of this world. The reality of the world is that the world came about through a void. And therefore, Chachma looks at this person and says, yeah, but you're not supposed to be making more holes in the world. We don't need a bigger void in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kind enough to be mitzamtim himself and create enough of a space for us to exist. But you don't have to keep pushing God further out into the further recesses of the heavens. So therefore, Chachma says, listen, I can't sentence you to death. What does Nevuah say? Nevuah has a higher view. Nevuah is outside this world, as we'll see in a second. So Nevuah can look at the Chote and say to the Chote, because of your behavior, from my outer worldly view, you deserve to die. Nevuah can paskin and say, this person is Chayav Misa. What does Chachma say? What does Chachma say? Chachma says, listen, I understand. You think that you have a right to make more holes in the world, because after all, the whole world came about from a hole that Hashem created. But says Chachma, but it's really not right what you're doing. And therefore, says Chachma, Chatam Tiradef Ra'ah, that the wicked individual should be pursued by evil. Right? You deserve to be punished. I can't sentence you to death. What you're doing has not undermined the entirety of the world's existence, because the world itself came about from a void. So you're just making a further void. So I can't say what you're doing is completely inappropriate and completely out of control. We can just grab some more chairs from the base medrash. Oh, and let's send around our box. Donations for those who are interested. Which is everyone. Thanks, make a donation. If your phone's like off and in your bag, just leave it off in your bag. You don't have to like take it out. But if your phone's in your pocket, throw it in the box. And pass it around, please. Okay. Good? Rav Hartman in the footnotes in the edition that I'm using has a very nice mashal to explain again the difference between Chachma and Nevuah. What does Chachma say? Chachma says, let's chase after him and let's punish him. Nevuah says, let's sentence him to death. Rav Hartman says it's like the difference between Misas Beis Din. It's like being sentenced to death by Beis Din and a Goel Hadam. What's a Goel Hadam? What's a Goel Hadam? When do we have a case of a Goel Hadam? Person killed B'shogeg. He runs to an ear miklat. The relatives of the individual who was killed have a right to what? Have a right to put this person to death, to try to chase after him, to kill him. It's not a psak. It's not a misas based. It's not a chiyuv misa. If you're chayiv misa and based, then there's no like, you know, run around and try to get out of it. You're chayiv misa, that's it. Sentenced to death. The Goel Adam also has a right to chase after him is to try to kill him. But it's not a psak in the same way. That's the difference between, says Rav Hartman, a very beautiful explanation, that's the difference between Chachma and Nevuah. What does Chachma say? Chachma says, let's get on this guy. He's punching holes in the world. He's making the world more void of Hashem's presence. He's creating a greater Chil Hashem by removing Hashem from the world. But Chachma says, but Chachma itself is part of the world. So therefore Chachma says, listen, I can't sentence him to death. Ki nimsa ba'olam ha-ra gam kein. Because ra, because a void, because negativity is part of this world. Hashem created the world. Yeah, the world is imperfect. Hashem is perfect. His world is imperfect. So when you do a chet, you can't say, well, Chachma can't say to you, what you just did undermined all of creation. It's not true. The world itself was a chet. The creation of the world itself was a sin. So this fits into the fabric of what the world is made up of. So it says Chachma, yeah, but you're making it worse. That's not okay. And therefore Chachma chases after you. It says evil should pursue this individual. This person should be punished for his crime. I can't kill him. He hasn't overturned the world. Comes along Nevuah, says the Maharal. Aval ha-Nevuah shehi min Hashem yisbarach. Nevuah, which again is beyond this world. Ve'ein davara yored milamala. Nevuah which descends on high. Nevuah which has a bird's eye view. And is able to see things in a much more rigid, pure, pristine fashion. Lakach ha-Nevuah omeres ha-Nefesh ha-Chote samus. Nevuah is less understanding. Chachma, being part of this world, says, yet what you're doing is harming the world, and you're making the world more difficult and more damaged, and that's not okay. but I can't sentence you to death. Nevuah looks down. Nevuah looks down and can say from that higher perspective, no, this chote, this sinner deserves to die. Shaloya nimtza chote shura, kmo shalo nimtza ra lamala. Just like from Nevuah's perspective, in Nevuah's worldview, there is no ra. Nevuah sees things from on high, from a perfected world. So Nevuah looks down and has no tolerance for imperfection. And therefore Nevuah looks down at the sinner and says, what you're doing is imperfect, and therefore you deserve to die. Anything less than perfect, you deserve to be removed. Okay? The Amar Shalu the Torah, I'll take comments in 1 second, says the Yerushalmi, so then it was asked of Torah, what can a person do tshuva? What's going to be with the sinner? Chote ma'oncho. The Torah shu tikun adam. Sharei kol ha-Torah hu tikun adam. Torah was created, as we pointed out in the first year, from the Maharal, the Nesiv HaTorah. Torah means Hora. Torah is meant to guide us. Torah is meant to help us perfect ourselves. Torah is meant to be a takein man, to give man the tools to survive. The Gam Bezeh HaTorah hi tikun adam. So too in this regard, if you ask Torah, tell me, I'm in trouble, I did some averos, and I want to clean up my mess. What can I do? Torah has the answers. Torah has tools. What are the tools that the Torah offers you in this particular case? V'lakach ha-Torah omeres, yavi yashom yischaf, or bring a karban asham. Shezeh tikun shalachotei. This is the tikun. Torah has different, right? Torah is like the doctor. Torah will prescribe to you exactly what you need. If you have this type of illness, if you have this type of injury, right? For this type of injury, for this type of illness, bring a karban, and that'll be your kapara. For something else, I'll give you a different medicine, a different mechanism. Aba Hashem Yisbarach concludes the Yerushalmi. But it was asked of Hashem, Ribono Sholem, what can I do? I can't afford a karban. I certainly don't want to be put to death by Nevuah. I don't want to be chased after by evil spirits like Chachma wants me to be pursued. So Ribono Sholem, what can I do? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yaseh Tshuva. Yaseh Tshuva. Ki achote asher yesh lo leiv nishbar v'nidke achato, hu yisbarach mekablo bishvil zeh, zehu midas Hashem Yisbarach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you are willing to be brokenhearted, and we'll see that maybe is a critical aspect of what tshuva means, as Maharal is describing here, and he's going to go on and quote a medrash in a second, which highlights that point exactly, that if you can achieve leiv nishbar v'nidkeh, if you could humble yourself before the Ribono Shel Olam, right? Hu yisbarach mekablo b'shvil zeh, Hashem will be the first to gather you in. Hashem likes brokenhearted Jews. Yeah, that's why the last letter of the Torah is a lamed, and the first letter of the Torah is a beis. So everyone says leiv. Yeah, but the lamed and the beis are so far apart; they're broken apart from one another. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. That's a beautiful thing. That the lamed at the end goes back to the beis of Bereishis. They're so far apart, but that's a leiv nishbar. As the Kotzker famously said, there's nothing more wholesome in the Ribono Shel Olam's worldview than a broken heart. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at this Jew who says, Ribono Shel Olam, I really messed up. I want to come back to you. And I'm broken on the inside. I'm pained over the fact that I've strayed from you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes you back. V'zeo midas Hashem Yisbach. And Hashem is very attracted to the brokenhearted Jews, to the Jew who wants to return to Him. The basic idea being that the more I try to be my own thing, the less I'm connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because every time I try to be my own thing, essentially, I'm denying what? Ein od milvado. If I really believe, kipshuto, ein od milvado, there is nothing besides Him, so then what are you trying to do? Why are you trying to be your own thing? But if I humble myself, and I say, Hashem, I don't want to be my own thing. I don't need to create my own thing. I just want to be an extension of You, part of You. Right? So Hashem says, you're broken in the day, you're revatal yourself to Me? Come. And Hashem gathers you in. That's the famous part of the Chidush Arim. Right? In Elul, we know, Elul, Hu Asanu V'lo Anachnu. Lo is a Kriya Niksiv. It's a Lo with an Aleph and Lo with a Vav. Right? So the Chidush Arim explained, the more a person is able to be Lo, Lamed Aleph, not, the more he humbles himself to be nothing, the more he, right? And again, that doesn't mean that you walk around depressed. And that doesn't mean that you don't try to achieve great things in this world. But you see yourself as nothing other than an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not trying to gain kavod for yourself. You're trying to bring kavod shemayim. So the more low, lamed aleph, the more a person negates himself, the more lamed vav, the more low to Him, you are connected to Him. That's Elul. Elul is aleph lamed, right? Vav lamed. That's low and low. Those are the two lows. The more low with an aleph, the more low with a vav. The more humility, the more bittul, as the Maharal is going to go on to describe, the more Hashem gathers you in. So while the Torah, I think the way to explain this, while the Torah which is the outer trappings of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is the outer expression of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, gives you a more superficial way to metakein, bring a carbon to the base of Mikdash, pay a few bucks out of your wallet, buy a nice animal, bring it to the base of Mikdash. That's more chitzoni. A Kadosh Baruch Hu, who is the pnimius of Torah, right? The muscle of the Balatanya, the Torah, so to speak, the clothing of Hashem. But Hashem himself on the inside says the tikkun is not offering anything superficially, external to you. It's offering yourself. It's the lev nishvar v'nivka, Elokim lo sivza. Okay, let's pause here for a minute and take some questions and comments before we start the next paragraph. Who wanted to say something? No? Yeah.
What kind of excuse did the Hashem did that I can do it too? Like, if we try using that excuse, then we could do a lot of crazy stuff.
Right, so it's not so much that the Chote really thinks, well, if Hashem made a void in the world, I can make a void in the world. It's just that Chachma is not able to say to this person, what you're doing doesn't fit into the world, you deserve to die. The response can be, what I'm doing is exactly how the world was created. Now again, you don't have a right to do that. Your question is correct, right? Meaning your assumption that, what right does this person have to create a void just because God created the void? You're correct, he doesn't have a right. But Chachma can't say to him, what you've done does not fit at all into reality. He'll say, yes it does. I'm creating a void, the same way that God created the void. Now he doesn't really believe that he has a right to do that, and therefore he deserves to be punished. And that's why Chachma says, we're going to chase after you. Right? But Chachma can't look at him and say, what you're doing does not fit in at all. Nevuah, who sees things from a world where there is no negativity, right, is able to look at this person who has negative behavior and say, what? That's against my whole worldview, and you deserve to die. You don't fit in at all, from the Nevuah's perspective. From Chachma's worldly perspective, it fits in, but it's just wrong. It's out of place. Yeah?
The Nevuah's perspective is only from the fact that the Yor Nishmayim.
Right.
And also, who's Yor Nishmayim?
You have to be careful with that. Say it louder so people can hear your question. Judah says, Nevuah is able to be perfect because it's Yorid Min HaShemayim, right? It comes from on high. And the Maharal said that nothing negative can be attributed to on high. You can't blame Hashem, right? There's only perfection in his world. But at the same time, Hashem created the world, which is negative. So you have to somehow, and this is the Maharal actually begins the Ner Mitzvah, I think, dealing more or less with this question. How does a perfect God create an imperfect world? Right? And is that his fault? Is the fact that our world is imperfect, should we blame Hashem for that? But Hashem, you're perfect, so obviously you know what you're doing. Yeah, but our world is so messed up, so how did that happen? How do you get from the oneness of Hashem to a world that's not a replica of him? How could the perfect God create an imperfect world? That's essentially the question Maharal begins the Ner Mitzvah. So sometimes we mechalik between Nevuah, which again is Hashem, filtered down but maintains its purity, versus the world which was created and somehow from the world, right? It's not Hashem who created the imperfect world. It's Hashem who created the world, and the world, right? The world, Memela, is...
It's not about, it's only from our minds that...
But it has to be from our side. You have to see it from our side as being imperfect, not from his side. That's why Nevuah, from his side, is able to be viewed as perfect. Right, Chachma is looking from a this world, worldly perspective. Okay? Says the Medrash, Yalkut Shimoni. Medrash says, Zivchei Elohim Ruach Nishbara. The karbanos, the offering, Zivchei, Zvachim. The karbanos of Hashem is a Ruach Nishbara, is a broken spirit. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kama Gedolim Nemuchei Ruach. How great are those who are of meek spirit? Shebizman Shebeis HaMikdash. In the times when we had a Beis HaMikdash, Adam Mevi Ola, Schar Ola Biyato. Mincha, Schar Mincha Biyato. Whatever carbon you brought, that's the reward you got. Aval Misha Daito Shvela. But a person who's humble, Ma'alav HaKosav Kiyu Hikriv Kol HaKarbanos. In one shot, with a bit of humility, a bit of vittle to Hashem, that's the ultimate offering. That includes all the offerings. Shenamar Zivchei Elohim Ruach Nishbara. It's not just one karbon, but it's Zivchei Elohim. It's all of the karbanos of Hashem is attributed to a broken spirit. Ve'ein tfilas unimeses. A humble person will have his tfilas answered. You know why? Because he's not asking for himself. He's asking for Hashem. Hashem, I don't feel well today, and therefore I cannot be the best shaliach on your behalf. It's not about me. Hashem, I need money. Not because I need money, but because I'm on a mission, and I'm well aware of that, of Einod Movado, of helping people to realize that there's nothing besides you, and I need money to be able to carry out my mission. And I need wisdom to be able to carry out my mission. I need health to be able to carry out my mission. So when a person is humble and he approaches Hashem in that way, of course Hashem answers his tefillos. Vein tefillos on the message, his tefillos is not rejected. Shenamar, lev nishbar v'nidka, elokim lo sivzeh. A broken heart, lo sivzeh, is not going to be, right, is not going to be scorned by HaKadosh Baruch. Zavdi ben Levi, Rabbi Yossi ben Pitras v'Rabbana. Chad Amar Amar David of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One opinion says that David HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Sha'olam, Im tekablani b'tshuva, if you accept my tshuva, yodeya ani, she shlomo b'ni bona beis hamikdash, umakiv kol karbanos shem Torah. How do I know that? David HaMelech says, if you accept me in tshuva, if you accept my repentance, I will have a son who will build you a beis hamikdash and will offer all the karbanos in the world before you. How do I know that? Min hadein kra. Zivchei Elokim ruach nishbra. Heitiva v'yirtzoncha. V'gomer. Az tachbot zivchei tzedek. V'chor na'amar. And the other opinion says in the Medrash. Minayin lo setshuva. Shemalin alav kilu olal yushalayim ubana b'yisamikdash umizbeach v'ikriv kol ha'karbanos shebetorah. The second opinion says, no, it's not just that David HaMelech said, if you accept my tshuva, my child will build you a beis hamikdash, and my child will offer you all the karbanos in the world. The second opinion says, how do you know that the Baal tshuva himself, chaver, if we do tshuva and elul, it's as if we, every one of us, has gone and built the beis hamikdash and has offered every karban. Unbelievable. How do you know such a thing? Shenemar zivchei Elokim ruach nishbra. Right, the karbanos of Hashem is a broken spirit. It's as if you built the Beis HaMikdash, you built the Mizbeach, and you offered all the karbanos. Concludes the Medrash, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Yudin, called Shepasol Bebehema, Hichshir Ba'adam. An animal, the more it has mumin, the more it has blemishes, the more broken it is, the more pasul it is. But by a person, it's such a nice lashon. But by a person, the more that what? The more that he's broken, the more that his spirit is crushed, and again, that does not mean he's depressed. We have to be careful about this. But the more he's mavatl himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The more he's able to free his spirit, and the better he is. The more kosher he is. Ad kan. Uperish zeh, says the Maharal. Ki mishi yesh lo lev nishbar v'nidka. Davar zeh nechshav ki ilu makriv atzmo al Hashem yisbach. Think about Hevel versus Kayin. One of the things that many Svarim point out is that the difference between Hevel and Kayin is not just the fact that Hevel brought a better karban. It was the way that he brought the karban. Because if you look at the pasuk, it says that what? That Hevel, Hevi, Gam, Hu. Right? It says Kayin brought a karban, and Hevel also brought a karban. But the Svarim explained that Hevel, Hevi, Gam, Hu means he also brought himself. He gave of himself to a Kadosh Baruch. That's exactly what Maharal is saying here. Darazen nechshav ki'ilu makrav atzmo al Hashem yisbach. When you shecht yourself, when you are willing to break your pride and humble yourself before Hashem, you've just offered yourself as a karma. That's very chashuv. Sherei zoveach rucho v'nishmaso. You've offered your spirit entirely b'besiras nefesh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lakach amar David, im atam mekablani b'tshuva muftachani she'amud shlomo v'yivna beis hamikdash v'alav makiv kol hakarbanos b'bnei she'yatza shlomo min David sh'ayam makiv atzum b'tshuva l'Hashem yisbach. The first opinion the Medrash says, David was really broken over his chataim. Whether or not they were truly chataim is a discussion. But David was, right, superficially David did something wrong. David, the Gemara says, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, is one of the people who established the possibility of tshuva in a certain unique and deep way. So David HaMelech says, I am breaking myself to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore I know what will come from me, what will come from my broken spirit, karbanos, a child, a ben. The Maharal says, Rav Hartman writes in footnote over here, footnote 70, Ki aben moral pnimius aviv. So to speak, when David cracked himself open, what emerged? What came from out from within him? His son Shlomo emerged from within him. Shlomo would then build the Beis HaMikdash, and Shlomo would offer all the karbanos to Hashem. So the first opinion of the Medrash says that again, David says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im atot tekableni b'tshuva, asher tshuva hu shemakiv atzmo el Hashem yisbach. When David offered himself, so to speak, on the altar before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sacrificed himself. Yotza mimenu ben shehu yivna beis hamikdash lakev kol hakarbanos. He was certain that out of the broken spirit of David would emerge his pnimius, right? You crack something open, what comes out? What's on the inside pours out. that out of my tshuva will pour out a Shlomo Melech, who will build a base of Mikdash, and will offer karbanos. And that's true. But the second opinion in the Medrash is even stronger. Says the Maharal, the Achar Savar, the second opinion, holds differently. What does the second opinion say? Everyone see where we are? Where are we? What page? Kuf Memtes? How many lines in, for those who have lost the place? The Achar Savar? Middle of the first column, okay. The Achar Savar. Ki Adam Atzmo Nechshav Kmo Mikdash. The second opinion says, no. You yourself, through your tshuva, you become a Beis HaMikdash. You become a Beis HaMikdash? Yes. As Maharal writes in many places, and as the Nefesh HaChaim so famously and beautifully describes in Shar Aleph Perek Dalet, Shah Adam Hu Kmo Beis HaMikdash, that a person is like a Beis HaMikdash, that every bit of your body corresponds to a makom of the Beis HaMikdash. Your heart is your Kodesh Kadashim, guarded well. Your mind, that's an extension of your Kodesh Kadashim, guarded well. Only bring proper thoughts there. I'll read you the Lashon of the Nefesh HaChaim. I have it here. Nefesh HaChaim says, Gam Alzos Yechared Lev Adam. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph, in the first gate, Perek Dalet. A person's heart should tremble. Shu Kolel B'Tavniso Kol HaKochos V'Olamos. To realize that you are a miniature world. And included in your miniature world is a miniature Beis HaMikdash. Shein Hema HaKodesh V'HaMikdash HaElyon. You are a Beis HaMikdash, a living, breathing, walking Beis HaMikdash. Im Keim Be'Eis Asher Yitur HaAdam Lachsho Bilvavo Machshava Asher Lo Tahora. So if a person thinks, Rachmana Letzlan, an unholy thought, he lets his mind drift into thoughts that are not thoughts for a Jewish person. You're bringing whatever the disgusting thought is, whatever doesn't belong in your mind, you're bringing that into your Beis HaMikdash, into your Kodesh Kadashim. So a person is like a Beis HaMikdash, and therefore when you do a chet, what happens to your Beis HaMikdash? Chorban Beis HaMikdash. You destroy your Beis HaMikdash. Im Adam Hu Kadosh. Right? If a person lives with holiness, Nechshav Adam Beis HaMikdash Kadosh, he is a holy Beis HaMikdash. If im chata, tima Beis HaMikdash hazeh. If he sins, so he's metame his Beis HaMikdash. Ulafiha chachotesh tima Beis HaMikdash hu Adam. So when a sinner does an aveira, he causes chorban Beis HaMikdash. So what does tshuva do then? What's tshuva? Tshuva is the rebuilding of your personal Beis HaMikdash. What a beautiful image to think about. V'chozer b'tshuva ki'ilu bana Beis HaMikdash mechadash v'ikriv karban. That Beis HaMikdash inside of ourselves that was lying in ruins is now restored. Karbanos are being offered. You're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the kelim of your body. U'v'lo zeh. Gam kein amru, and more than that. It says, b'derech klal. The Gemara in Sota says, g'dolim nemuchei ruach. Lifnei Hashem Yisparach. A humble person, b'derech klal, is very beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Putting aside tshuva and this Beis HaMikdash mashal, as it says, k'vosh mavur b'nesiv ha'anava, as I explained in one of the other nesivos, in the pathway of anava, one of the sections of the nesivos olam, right? We're learning the nesivah tshuva. There are 33 nesivos. So a different pathway is called nesiv ha'anava. Shenechshav ki'ilu hikriv karban. Anytime you do an act to humble yourself, that's a karban. Now think of that in real, put a dollar price on that and you'll actually be very inspired. It costs a lot of money to bring a karban. It costs hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars sometimes to buy, depending on what type of animal you're bringing. It's not so cheap. Right? So think about that. Instead of taking an animal and shoving it to Yerushalayim, if I just have a little bit of bittul to Hashem, if in a moment where I could be a Baal Gaiva, right, towards another person or towards my relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu or Ben Adam La'atzmo, and I'm a vatel myself, I just offered a karbon. Rak she'ein nechshav gilu bana Beis HaMikdash. But that's not a Beis HaMikdash. Humility in general is a karbon. What's a Beis HaMikdash? Rak hachote she'timei ubitel Beis HaMikdash. But a sinner who is metame the Beis HaMikdash, his tshuva is ke'ilu chazer ubano so. So again, Maral is saying, anava in general is a karbon. But tshuva is binyan Beis HaMikdash with karbanos. Behikriv karban besocho, he offers the karban within himself. Hu nemichas haruach sheyesh lechol baal tshuva. That emerges from, again, the humbled spirit of every baal tshuva. Okay? Let's just do one more little bit. Yeah, let's do a little bit more. Okay? We're at the break in the paragraph. The Omer of Abba. Or maybe of Ada. Maybe of Ami. Different. This is exactly who said the last line. Okay, says Rabbi Abba, Kol shepasul bebehema kasher ba'adam. Whatever is considered a disqualification for an animal is very valued by HaKadosh Baruch Hu if that trait exists within man. perish. Ki abehema psul shalak asher yesh la mum begufo. The Maharal writes in several places that the essence of an animal is its guf. Right? The essence of an animal is its guf, not its neshama. It's guf. And therefore what? If there's something wrong with its guf, that means there's something wrong with its essence. It's no longer able to be a behema. A mum by a behema undermines its essence. The essence of the animal is its guf. So therefore, psul shalak asher yesh ba mum begufa. When an animal has a mum in its guf, that's a sign that it's pasul. Mimnesha mum hu tchilas ibur aguf. A mum, if an animal has a heart condition, that's the first sign the animal is heading towards death. If the animal has a broken leg, right, that could lead to an infection that leads to death. So any type of injury is the beginning of the breakdown of the body. Guf kasher nevad hu chozer la'afar. And when the guf breaks down, where does it go? It turns back into dirt. You can't throw some dust on the mizbeach and call it a karbon. And therefore an animal that has begun the process of returning to dust, eino kari vel Hashem yisbach, cannot be offered to Hashem. Aval ba'adam, but a person, by a person, what happens when his body breaks down? What emerges? He just crumbles into a pile of dust? Of course not. The essential you is what? He's set free, the neshama returns to its place. And therefore, the breaking of the body of a man, aval ba'adam kasher rucho nishpra b'vnei cheto, when his spirit is brokenhearted, right? And therefore the neshama is able to free itself from the body. The same way that when the guf breaks down, right, it no longer exists as is. So too, if the neshama has a breakdown, if the neshama also has some type of bittul, has some type of shvira, it's able to emerge. Haruach asher nistalik legamrei hu lamala. When the neshama is able to free itself from the clutches of the body, where does it go? It disappears? It goes up. Kedichsiv haruach tashuv el elokim. V'lakach ola kasher nishbar gam kein. So therefore, anytime a Jew is brokenhearted, it's a miniature form of misa, not chas v'shalom in a negative sense, in a very positive sense, that it causes the neshama to have a moment of rising above the body. And where does it go when it frees itself in the body? Not to nowhere's, you know, no man's land. It frees itself in the body to return to Hashem. And therefore, a broken spirit is a return to Hashem. V'davar zeh hu akrava l'shamayim, v'lakach zivke elokim ruach nishbra, leiv nishbar v'nidke elokim lo siv zeh. Okay, last line. U'masha amar, ki kli tashmisho shal Hashem yizbarach kelim shvurim. And that which the Medrash goes on to say, the Medrash in Vayikra Rabba says that Hashem, more than anything else, desires, He enjoys broken vessels. Mivnei ki al Hashem yizbarach hu anava. It's very difficult. There's a whole world of discussion, and you find Jewish philosophy as well, and in Lahavdil, many times over, non-Jewish philosophy, there's a whole concept of negative theology. What does negative theology mean? Negative theology means that I can't really describe what Hashem is, but I can tell you what He's not. Right? Maybe the best way to truly describe Hashem is to describe what He's not. Because to say that Hashem, you are this, you are that, is very difficult. The Gemara tells the story of a person who was davening Shmoneh Esrei. Hakel, Agadol, Agibor, Vanora. And he went on and he started adding other praises. And when he finished his praises, I forget who it was, one of the Tanaim, one of the Amoraim said to him, so siyamte kula shivchei de bore, you've been messiahim all the praises of Hashem? So now you really described Hashem? He said, if not for the fact that we got special rishus, we wouldn't even be allowed to say Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanora. Hashem's Gadol. You know what Gadol is? And you think you can just call Hashem Gadol? That's an accurate description of how great Hashem is. Hashem is Gibor, Hashem is strong. You know what Gibor is? You know what Hashem's Gibor is? You have a right to even say such a thing. So therefore, we often try to approach Hashem by describing what He's not, right? Because we don't have the words to describe Ribbono Shel Olam what You are. It's that first piece we learned in Sichos Aran, right? It's a feeling that I can't even put my relationship with Hashem into words because it's beyond any specific expression. And therefore, one of the midos, which we do use to try to express what Hashem is, even though, again, no expression really works, is anava, humility. Hashem is very much connected to those who are humble. How do you know that? Well, he says, Sha'amida zos hi midas hapshitos. What is anava? When a person is an anav, right, he's pashut. He's simplistic, he's wholesome, he's getting closer to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's a certain oneness to him. He doesn't have up and downs, right? Where he's in competition with someone else. There's a certain pshitus. The anav is pashut. And then because of that, he becomes a very expansive type of person. Right? In his humility, he becomes so great. Moshe Rabbeinu was Anav Mikol Adam. And as we'll see in Sanhedrin, Moshe is compared to the entirety of Klal Yisrael. The more Moshe was Mavatl himself, the more expansive he became. That's why the Zohar, the Tikkuni Zohar says, Ispashtusa de Moshe, the impression of Moshe, the presence of Moshe, is found b'chol dar of adar in every single generation. Because Moshe humbled himself, he became so big. He became a neshama kolelis, an all-encompassing soul. So the more a person's mevatel himself, the more pashut you make yourself. Hashem doesn't have parts. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So the more that you become less complicated by being humble, Hashem says, I'm attracted to that. I'm interested in that. And therefore says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes using Klei Tashmisho Shel Hashem Yisparach Kelim Shvur. Hashem likes broken vessels. Hashem is attracted to that. A melech of Basar V'dam wants the fanciest Kelim, the fanciest goblets, the most beautiful china. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, I like broken vessels. Because that gets closer to that humility, that anava, that pshitus, that achdus that Hashem represents. V'lekach Kelim Shel Hashem Yisparach Shvurim. Ki ashavar hu apshitus, kasher ein lo shame kli klal. Because would you call a broken, you take a china plate and you smash it into 100 pieces, would you even call it a plate anymore? You can't even call it a kli. Right? You can't even call it a kli. It loses its name. It's been mevatel, it's itself, its independent self. Hashem says, I like that. That means it's closer to einon mevado. It's closer to the recognition that it doesn't exist on its own and it's only maybe an extension of me. And therefore Hashem likes to use broken vessels. And therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the Chote, you can do tshuva. And that humbling feeling of tshuva will bring us to a great closeness one to another. I want to just end with a beautiful line that I saw from Rav Avram Shor. Rav Shor tells a story. This is in the Halakha Chvaliba of Tavshin Samach Aleph, Parshas Kisavo, next week's Parsha, on page 254. It's an amazing thing that he says. He says, Rahman al-Atlan, there was this Bachar, who was a very broken clay, a very, very broken clay. This Bachar was not blessed with great intellectual abilities, and he was not, for whatever reason, he's one of these kids who the Rebbeim always picked on along the way. And he bounced around from one yeshiva to another yeshiva, and he was basically, in his world, a complete failure. He got so depressed, he was so broken, that he tried to commit suicide. Right? He was unsuccessful in committing suicide. They stopped him. They prevented him from doing it. But when they realized, when his friend and his chaver realized how desperate the situation was, they wanted to do something to pick him up. They took him to the Stipler Gaon. Took him to the Stipler Gaon in Bnei Brak. And the Stipler was sitting with him. And the Stipler says to him, you know, let's learn together a little bit. Right, and he starts to read, and he sees he can barely make out the words. The stifler takes him by the hand, and he says to him, "Ani nishva." He said, "I'm prepared to take a shvua de araisa." He says, "I'm not joking. I'm not just trying to mechazek you." He says, "I'm prepared to take a shvua de araisa." He took him by the hand. He said, "I will swear if you took a sefer Torah out of the Aron right now, ani nishva shvua de araisa. I would swear on a sefer Torah that when you study Torah, when you break your teeth." You think you're such a broken kli. When you break your teeth on this Mishnah, I promise you, a shvua daraisa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks down from the Shemayim, and he says, Stipler Gaon, I'm not interested in the Kilas Yaakov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not interested in the Bishkarov, and I'm not interested in the Evan Ezel or Mr. Zalman Meltzer. I'm not interested in any of the great Lamdan and great Gaonim of the generations. I'm only interested in this Bachar. And the Bachar, with tears rolling down his face, says to the Stipler, Lama, Why does that make any sense? Why would Hashem like my broken Mishnah more than your brilliant Chidushim, the Kilos Yaakov? So the Stipler says to him, Kacha, take my word for it, it just is. So the Bacha says, no, Lama, tell me why. So the Stipler says, you really want to know why? It's this Medrash in Vayikra. The Klei Tashmisho, Shamelech Malchayim Lachim, the Kehilim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to use are Kehilim Shvur. And he says, therefore, you and your brokenness, and you think, if only I had greater kishronos, greater abilities, if only I would have had different aveim who could have boosted me up. I'm a broken kli, I have no place in this world. He says, you are more beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than any of the great gedolim, the gedolei olam, in the world of Torah. So Mirtz Hashem, we should be zocha, not to chas v'shalom fall into a place of yeyesh and despair like this bachar, but to become kelim shvurim, to be people who are humble, who are pashut, And Amir Tashem, if we can work on that aspect of Lo, Lamed Aleph, then we'll be able to come back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lamed Vav. Anila Dodi Vidodi. Okay, Shkoyach, we'll stop here for today.